Matt, if you, yeah, you may have met Matt before. You've been here a few times to preach, haven't you? So yeah, we're really excited to have you with us again. Thanks for agreeing to come back. Matt is the leader at Cirencester Baptist Church, and he's also, not only has he spoken here before, but he's also been a key part of our training on our on the Invest program, which is a program for kind of leaders identified that want to grow in their leadership. So yeah, and I've benefited from that myself, especially remember your teaching of how to read the Bible, how to do that. And Balti is the word I'll say to you, and if you want to ask me more about that, ask me or Matt later. But yeah, that stuck with me, and I've shared it with our house group. So yeah, we're really excited. Can I pray for you?
Please do.
Yeah. Yeah, Father, we thank you for Matt. We thank you for his obedience to you, and we thank you for the work he's put in to prepare him for this morning. And we are excited to hear what you have in store for us through Matt. So just fill him with your spirit, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say this morning. So open our hearts, open our ears, and just bless us and bless Matt as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much. Good morning. It is nice to come to a church that when you go to the toilets, there's a sign on the wall offering 4 Jaeger bombs for £10, which is great. Which, whilst I'm not an expert, I think that's quite a good price for a Jaeger bomb. That's pretty good. So we'll be coming again. A few weeks ago, I was in a pub in North London and was waiting for number one's son to come and meet me. He lives just up the road. Had about half an hour to wait, so I sat down, got myself a drink. Aston Villa were playing PSG on the TV, and I was sitting there doing the crossword in the paper, like a crossword. And there were 4 people at the next table having a conversation. They were in their early, mid-30s, people living in that part of London. And I couldn't help but listen in on their conversation. It wasn't a planned conversation. They were ranging around all sorts of different subjects, chatting about stuff in their life. But at a number of points, the conversation came back to religion. And so I was listening and paying attention. And I desperately wanted to join in. And then one of them began to share about a documentary that he'd been watching on TV. An American preacher was describing techniques that he used to help capture an audience. And I heard him quoting from this TV program. And they said, the preacher said that when you're talking about the devil, you need to lean forward. And when you're talking about God, you need to lean back. And I couldn't hold myself back any longer. So I stepped over and I said, I'm very sorry, excuse me. I couldn't help but overhearing. I'm in that business. That's my business, the preaching business. I'm the minister of a church. And could you tell me that advice again? I want to be able to use it. So he said, yes. So he said, you need to lean forward when you're talking about the devil and lean back when you're talking about God. Anyway, we went on to have a nice conversation. 4 guys, none of them Christians, are not practicing. In fact, the guy who was telling the story, he's Jewish. We chatted away and I told him, I said, you're going to turn up in my talk next week at church, which is true because he has. But the thing that captured me slightly earlier in their conversation was that Zach, that was his name, the Jewish guy, was telling a story. He said, I've got to go to church next Saturday. And they were saying, why are you going? And he said, because my friend, he mentioned his name, who'd obviously known for a number of years, someone in his 30s, was getting baptized. And this guy's friend had struggled with alcohol and various other things, but in the last 18 months, had found his way to church, things had really changed, and he said both his faith and the community of the church have changed him, and he's getting baptized. He said, I've got to go to church, and he's obviously not used to going to church, Jewish background. I've got to go to church, and the service lasts for 90 minutes. I said to him, I said, we can go a lot longer than that if you want us to. We're good at that. But what in that conversation was a little snapshot of things that we're seeing happening again and again and again across this country. Some of you would have heard in the last 3 or 4 months, the Bible Society published a piece of research called The Quiet Revival, that talked about the fact that many, many younger people are finding their way to church, that church attendance in Britain has grown 50% since 2018. Gen Zs and millennials, like this group I was talking to, are in that category. It's wonderful to see what God is doing. Amen. I was preaching a few weeks ago at Stroud Baptist Church. Anyone been to Stroud You know where that is? Good, full of hobbits and elves and various other things they have up there. This is me. I took a photo just before I started on the Sunday morning. They've got one of those, they're an old Victorian building. They've got one of those old school pulpits that's about 30 foot high. You know the one? So I didn't preach from there, but it was great for taking a photo. And then I got down on the floor like a sensible person. That congregation has tripled in size since I was last there just before COVID. The number of folk that have come to Jesus, extraordinary stories of people, lots of folk from the New Age background, which is very popular in Stroud, who've had dreams of Jesus and have found faith. It's extraordinary to see what's going on. Just little snapshots. God is at work. Amen. And so with that in mind, we're going to read a passage in the New Testament to think about that, to help encourage us about our part in what God is doing. So if you've got a Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, which is in the New Testament. If you're new to church, haven't read the Bible before, then hopefully this will be helpful to you. We're going to read a few verses. Again, if you've got it in front of you and or on your phone, it's always helpful because I read a little bit, but it's always in the context of a larger thing. I saw you brought your very large NIV study Bible. I saw you coming in with that. That's brilliant. That's fantastic. It's good. You can read the context, and the study Bible's got all the answers at the bottom as well. So it's really good to all the questions. It's very good. Doing that's great because you can see all that's going on around it. So I'm going to jump in. Chapter 4 of Colossians, starting at verse 2, just read a few verses here. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I, the Apostle Paul is writing this, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen. Lord God, as we look at these words for a few minutes, would you speak to our hearts? We're all different. We've got different stuff going on with us, but pray that we might hear your voice, your challenge, your encouragement in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pray, listen, go. Pray, listen, go. That's the thought I want to drop into your minds today. One of the things that British people really struggle with is interacting with other human beings. We're really awkward about it. And one of the things that many of us find hard, and perhaps particularly the men in the room, is interacting with our neighbours. You know that point where you pull up in your car and you're getting out and they're doing the same thing and you know you're now going to be forced to have a conversation. You know those things? Who tries to avoid them? Who stays in their car a bit longer like, oh, I've got to do something really important in here, so I dodged the conversation. And here's a few tips about things that you can talk about to help those things along. So what's the first thing British people talk about? The weather. If you're not British, you're not from this country, you may have other things you do, but this is a clue, okay? If you're learning to cope with British culture, this is what you do. So what other things do we talk to our neighbours about? Dogs. Very good. Someone said dogs. So if you've got a dog and you're out with a dog, then you talk about the dog. In fact, often you don't talk to the human at all because that helps with our social disease. You just talk to the dog. How are you? Are you all right? Oh, he's good. He's a human there. No, I'm just talking to the dog. That's what we do to make it a bit easier. Do you ever have conversations about the bins? Got to talk about the bins. Oh, what week is it this week? Oh, they didn't pick them up last week. All of that. Oh, man, alive. That's what we talk. What else do we talk about? We talk about my particular pet hate is if I'm outside of my house washing my car and the neighbour goes by, what do they always say? Do you do mine next? Oh, flipping it. No. What's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is that life can get a bit boring. Life can get a bit boring. We all have to do boring things. There's lots of boring aspects of life at home, at work, and so on. But life can get a bit dull. But for those of us who are Christians, those of us that have encountered God, those who us, what's that verse that you quoted in the prayer time before we started today? Yes, so we have been rescued from the dominion or the power or the kingdom of darkness, and we've been brought into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. That's us, isn't it? Amen? Those of us who are Christians, that's what's happened. We've been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, or the kingdom of light, as it says elsewhere. We're surrounded by angels. We're living in the presence of God, and we are God's hands and feet and his very body out into the world. So it shouldn't be boring. Amen? Doesn't mean to say there aren't some boring things, but there needs to be, because of that reality for us, there should be stuff for us that isn't boring. Every day for you and I, if we're Christians, has the opportunity to be an adventure. It may be a very small one, because we do still have to take the bins out and look after our parents or our kids or go to work. All of that stuff has to happen. But within it, there is the opportunity for us to have and be involved with God's adventure. And the reason is because the door is open around us. I've told a couple of little stories to illustrate it, but you may have some from your life, your experience, your family, your friends. The door is open and we are God's ambassadors. Is that right? That's how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians. We are God's ambassadors. I love that idea, that we're ambassadors sent into a foreign, hostile country, but we're there as ambassadors. Do we get to eat the Ferrero Rocher that they always have at the ambassador's party? And, sorry, old joke. And we're God's ambassadors. God's hands, God's feet, God's mouthpiece. That's what we are in every place. And there are hungry people all around us. All around us. One of the things I do every day is I pray, when I'm praying in the morning, I ask God, is there something specific you want me today? Somewhere to go, somebody to speak to, somebody to share with. I was in our town centre a couple of weeks ago and I prayed and I thought God showed me a picture of a particular place in our town, not somewhere I'd normally go. So I thought, right, I'm just going to pop down there. So I went down this place and there was somebody I knew there who was standing at a coffee kiosk chatting with the woman that was serving. And I went over and said hello to him because I knew him, but he was only there for a minute because he had to go to work. He said, great to see you, I'm off. But I'd now been introduced to the lady behind the counter. And I explained that I'm a Christian, I work at the church up the road. And we had a fantastic conversation for about half an hour. And she talked about her fascination and interest with the stars and astronomy and the universe and wondering where it all comes from. And obviously I had something to contribute to that conversation. It was wonderful. She was so open. Those adventures are there for all of us, all around us, every day, because God is at work. Amen? Pray, listen, go. Pray, listen, go. Let's turn back to our passage, first couple of verses. Devote yourselves to prayer, says the Apostle Paul, writing to these Christians in Colossae. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too. So he's asking them to pray for him and his team, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Do you want to know the number one thing that will help you and me to be fruitful as a Christian? Okay. There's a clue in what we've just read. What might that be? Prayer. It's really that simple. It's really not hard. Devote yourselves to prayer. And he adds being watchful and thankful. So that's particular things that we might do when we're praying. But devote yourselves to prayer. That's it. The number one thing, it's not the only thing, but the number one thing that will help us to be fruitful as Christians in our daily lives, in amongst all the difficult and challenging and boring things that we have, the number one thing that will help us to be fruitful is that we learn to pray. That we learn to pray every day. That's it. Simple. No shortcuts. Do that with the Holy Spirit's help. And so much else will follow on behind. One of the things that I've loved to do since I first became a Christian is to read or to listen to or to watch and find out about the stories of what I call famous dead Christians. And I've got a few of my favourites up here on the screen now, if you can see that there. Corrie ten Boom, Watchman Nee, Hudson Taylor, Jackie Pullinger, Reinhard Bonnke and C.T. Studd, who also used to open the batting for England and then God told him to do something else. Anyone here got any particular favourites, people that have really inspired you that you've read about or heard about, watched videos about? Yes. Jackie Pullinger, she's down there, bottom left. Yeah, she's great. She's still alive, actually. She's not dead, so I don't want to put that on her. So she's doing all right. Charles Spurgeon, that's right. Good Baptist preacher from London. Yeah, very good. Samuel Morris, no idea, but I'm sure he's great. That's fantastic. Smith Wigglesworth, Yorkshireman, evangelist, plumber. Did all those things. We need more plumbers in church. we have too many teachers and things. We need more plumbers, definitely, so we need him. And I found inspiring. You know, one of the conclusion I came to as I hear these stories about folk that have gone before us who seem to have been fruitful in their lives for God. They're not perfect. They're all a bit messed up as well. I want to make that clear. Every single one of them has learnt one thing in common, in lots of different ways, but they've learnt one thing in common, and that's they've learnt to be alone with God in prayer. All sorts of different ways of doing that, different personalities, different times in history, but they've learnt to be alone with God in prayer. One of my particular favourites is someone who's died quite recently, was David Yonggi Cho, who was the pastor of the world's largest church in South Korea. And I remember hearing him telling the story at a conference up in Nottingham, and he was talking about this thing about just learning to pray. The heart of his ministry and their church was to pray, learning to pray every day. And he said when their church had just started, he'd just got married, and it was just after the Korean War had finished in the early mid-1950s. And they'd started this church in Seoul in Korea, meeting in an old US Army tent. And, of course, Korea was a mess at that point. And Korea gets extremely cold in the winter. And he just got married, and him and his wife were living with his wife's parents. And his mother-in-law was a very enthusiastic Christian and quite forceful in a very Asian sort of way, and thought he needed to learn, particularly as he was now starting to pastor a church, he needed to learn how to pray every day. So she was going to teach him how to do it. So every morning, he said it was about 4:30 or 5:00. What she would do was that she would get a bucket that had been outside all night with water in it, and bear in mind the temperature in the winter there, -5, -10, -15, whatever it was. She'd get a flannel, and she'd put it in the bucket of water, and then come and place it on Yonggi Cho's face, like this, while he was still asleep, to wake him up. And then would shout in Korean at him, "Come on, get up, prayer time now!" And he described it in a funny way, but I can't imagine it was funny at the time. And he said, "Mother, why don't you just kill me?" But what he said he learned to do, albeit in a slightly forceful way, he just learned the discipline of getting up every morning and praying. And it wasn't very long before he didn't need the freezing cold flannel to wake him up. And it became the heart of his life. And I remember just hearing that and just saying, "Lord, would you do that with me?" And I say that to you now. We're all different. We've got different lifestyles, different patterns, different personalities. But find a way that we can, in Paul's words, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And one of the things I, therefore, in the light of what we've got in our passage here, one of the things I do is in that praying, I pray every day, "God, would you let me point the way to Jesus to somebody who's not yet a Christian? Point the way to Jesus to somebody who's not yet a Christian." Last year, I had a week off, and I went into railing, 30 years too late, but I went into railing on my own around France. And I was praying that every day, "Lord, would you let me point the way to somebody, point somebody to Jesus today." And one evening I was in Strasbourg and I was sitting in a cafe having my dinner on my own. And there was a bloke sitting next to me having some food on his own. And I've been doing Duolingo on French. Anyone doing Duolingo? Okay, some of you aren't. Okay, very good. I'm doing well. My streak's going well. But I thought, come on. This is your prayer every day. Let's put this into practice. So I turned to him and in rather bad French started a conversation just about, I was asking about what's interesting to see in Strasbourg. We got into a long conversation. He had some English as well, and we managed to get a conversation. And it came out during the conversation that I was a Christian and then also that I worked in a church. And we had a fantastic evening. And then he said, "What are you doing tomorrow night?" And I said, "I've got no plans. I'm on my own. I'm exploring." He said, "Right, you're coming to a dinner." So he picked me up the following night after work and he took me to this dinner, and there were all these people there at this thing. It was a Senegalese restaurant, and there were all these friends of his, and these friends, and again in slightly bad French, they were saying, "Why are you here?" I said, "I met him in a cafe last night." I go, "What?" But I spent 3 hours in bad French, and everybody wanted to ask me questions about God because they worked out I was a pastor, because it was real live Christians, they don't come across. So these were lots of, just middle-class French people living in Strasbourg, and we were chatting away. But it came from the fact that I pray every day, "Lord, let me point the way to Jesus." And whether it's something like that ended up in a big conversation or the tiniest little thing that we bless someone with, God, can you use us? Amen? Pray listen, and go. And that's the key thing in this. Pray, listen, and go. The phrase that Paul uses is watchful. Keep your eyes open while you're praying and ask that question, God, what would you like me to do today or this week? And what you may find is that as we just shut up for a minute and let God speak, God will bring somebody or something to mind that we weren't expecting. Oh, maybe I could give them a ring, send them a text, pray for them, go around and bless them, share something with them, invite them to Enfest, whatever it is. Let's ask that question. Show me what to do today that's different. What can I do at work today that I might be an ambassador for you? Show me. It might surprise me. I was praying a few days ago this week, and God brought a name to mind of somebody that I know a little bit. His wife's a member of our church. He's not a Christian, very friendly, not a Christian. And he came to mind. I thought, why am I thinking about him? So I started to pray for him. And then I thought, Lord, is there anything you want me to do? Now, he's an absolute car enthusiast. He has a collection of 29 classic cars. He's obviously got some money as well. And so I want to get him into church, get him tithing. And no, that's not true. Jesus wants you. And suddenly I thought, what can I do to bless? Just to say, all I'm going to say to him is that, hey, I was thinking about you this week and I've been praying for you. And I thought of giving him a gift. And I've got a few bits of car memorabilia around, including one of these. And any of you old enough to have had one of these AA badges on your car? Yeah, some of you are. All right, fine. And so I've got it in my car now. I'm going to give it to him tonight. And just a little thing. And it was just a weird thing popped into my head. I wouldn't have thought about it on my own. I wouldn't have thought about this bloke on my own. I wouldn't have thought about doing something. But I prayed for him. I'm going to give him a card and that just to say, hey, I'm a Christian and I was praying for you. I don't know where it's going to go, but it's unexpected. But it's because I was praying and then asking the Lord, what are you saying? Be watchful. Watchful and thankful. Amen. Right, next verse. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. I love that. Make the most of every opportunity. There are opportunities all around us. For us, in very small ways or in big ways, to be that ambassador, to drop something in, to share a message, to point someone towards Jesus. The opportunities are all around us. Pray, listen, and then go. We pray, God, use me, open the door. Listen, maybe God will bring something to mind. And now we need to take that step, take that leap, take that risk and step out. Because the unfortunate thing is that pretty much every time that God does something, he blesses someone, he changes someone, someone gets spoken to, a miracle happens, a healing happens, it's because a Christian has taken a risk. Would you agree with me? Every single one of those things takes a risk. Always takes a risk. It always feels a bit uncomfortable when you go and invite someone to church, or as you were being encouraged earlier on, invite someone to Enfest, or you share your faith, or you offer to pray for someone, or you go and bless someone in a way that's not very British. I joked earlier on about people saying, oh, can you wash my car next? A few times that's happened over the years, and I felt a nudge from God to go and do it. So that they've made the joke and wandered off, and I've then gone and filled up my buckets, and I've wandered next door, and I've done their car. Have to make sure you haven't got grit on the sponge so you scratch the paintwork when otherwise it's not a blessing anymore. But it always feels a bit weird and a bit awkward because it's not very, certainly not a very British thing to do, but it's a step at a risk. Everything involves that. Make the most of every opportunity, says Paul. And perhaps the story that Jesus tells that most exemplifies this, one of his most famous stories, where he tells a story about someone who takes a massive risk to bring a blessing to someone else. Can you think which story I might be talking about, those who know the Bible? Good Samaritan, thank you very much. Good Samaritan. The hero of that story is this slightly scummy foreigner, because that's how they viewed the Samaritans, this slightly scummy foreigner who steps over cultural awkwardness, social barriers to help someone who's in trouble. And when Jesus has finished telling that parable, what's the word that he turns to the people and says? Go and do likewise. You've heard this story, now you lot go and do the same. And we're all invited into that, to step over those awkward things, to be those ambassadors, to bring that blessing to other people, to share the gospel, to pray for someone, to help someone in a weird way. God will do it. Amen. Last words. Last verse. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Who here is honest enough to admit that your conversation is not always full of grace? Moaning. Who's a good at moaning? Oh, it's very good. That's one of British pastimes. So we talk about the weather and we complain about other people who aren't there. That's how we do it. We complain, we moan, we grumble. That's what we do. We're rude. Our conversation is not always full of grace, seasoned with salt, which means it isn't bland either. Now, none of us are perfect. We all mess up. But why don't we ask God to make our conversation this week just that little bit more full of grace? And then the doors open. Just near Cirencester is the small town of Fairford. And in the middle of Fairford, there's a cafe called 7A. And it's run by this couple that are up on the screen. And they're not Christians. But over the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of growth in our church in that town. We've now got about 50 people living there. And they've all agreed amongst themselves to use this cafe. So whenever they want to go for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, they always go to this one. And they meet there and they pray and various things. And this couple know them all, know they're all Christians. And they say of the Christians, this couple that run the cafe, you lot from that Baptist church, you're all so happy. Now, of course, that's not true in the full sense, because they're all dealing with all the difficulties and struggles that all of us deal with in life. But they've been gracious enough and life-giving enough in their conversation that the people have noticed that there's something different. And if we increasingly do that with the people around us, the doors will open, the opportunities will come. Amen. Pray, listen, go. Devote yourselves to prayer. Listen to God as we pray for the things that might be slightly surprising. And then have the courage to step out. So at the moment, I'm going to pray. Pray for all of us. And there may be one thing from all of this that you think, okay, God, could you help me with that? So it could be the praying. God, would you help me just to, like all these famous dead Christians I mentioned, can you just help me to devote myself to prayer, or even just a little bit more, whatever that looks like for you? Maybe it's learning to listen and just shutting up for enough so that you can hear God telling you something you didn't expect. Lord, what are you saying to me today? What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? Or maybe it's praying for that courage to actually take that step to do something slightly risky that might be a blessing. Something for Jesus with the people that are around you. And maybe that last verse about letting our conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt. You know, God, I need some help with that. My conversation's not very full of grace at work or with my family. Lord, would you help that grow? Help that change. So we'll pray in a second. We will ask God to help us with that. So we'll pray for all of us, and then I've got a few little words that I think God gave me on the way here that I just want to share with us more personally. And we're going to offer to pray for anyone that wants prayer who is sick today. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement of these words, that we should devote ourselves to prayer, we should be watchful, that we should proclaim your message, that we make the most of opportunities and let our conversation be full of grace. And Lord, we need help with that. Those of us here that are Christians, we have encountered you. We have come into the kingdom of your beloved Son, but we need your help in our day-to-day lives, in the midst of all the stuff that goes on, Lord, to be your ambassadors. For those of us that want to just step on in prayer, what does it look like to me in the midst of my life to devote myself to prayer? Lord, would you help us? We need help. Help us, Lord, to listen to you as we're praying, to be watchful. Give us the courage, Lord, that we might proclaim it clearly. Make the most of those opportunities, Lord. And Lord, where some of us need our conversation rather more grace-filled, rather less moaning, Lord, I pray you to help us to do that, that we might bless the people around us and that the doors would open. Would you help us and shape us and mould us In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As I was driving here this morning, and this place is a long way from anywhere, isn't it? Wherever you start from, it's a long way to get here, particularly with all your 20-mile-an-hour zones. So I had a lot of time to pray. And I asked the Lord just to give me a few words. And brother here with the longer hair, felt the Lord give me a word for you as we were singing earlier on. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. If you do, come and punch me afterwards, that's fine. And I felt the Lord saying, there's a phrase we use about travelling at breakneck speed, going really fast. Use it. And the Lord was saying to this, you put it in the first person, I want you to slow down. You've got all you need. The rush isn't helping. I love you. I'm impressed with who you are. Chill, man. I don't know if that was the Lord or me, but that's me summarising. Slow down. There was an invitation there about that. So I'll just drop that with you. If it's helpful, use it. Pray about it with a friend or something. If not, just say, it's the weirdo from Siren Sister. I had a few words for healing, and if these are you, I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to share two that are slightly more personal that I won't get you to respond to. But one was, apologies for this, but this is how it came. The Lord, this is for men, at least one man here. The Lord was speaking to me about your nuts and that there's something wrong and the Lord wants to bring healing. And it's something you're aware of. You may well have talked to your doctor about it. And if that's you, can I encourage you to go and ask the Lord for healing? Get somebody you trust to say, look, could you pray for this? Feels a bit embarrassing, but pray for it. Ask the Lord to bring healing. And someone else suffering with, I saw it was sort of your intestines, perhaps your colon that's twisted and not working properly. And again, if that's you, you're probably aware of it, talk to your doctor, but just get someone to pray with you and ask the Lord to bring healing, to speak healing over that. And then there were, another word, again, this isn't for healing, this one. This is, it's about your grandmother, your granny. And you're angry with her. And the word from God, I believe, for you is that it's too late to fix it. Whatever it is that you're angry about, whatever it is, could be stuff going back years, it's too late to fix it. And what God's inviting you to think about is just think about the legacy. What's going to be left? What do you want to give into that relationship for this last bit of her life, I guess? And if that rings a bell for you and you recognise that anger, then again, I encourage you to chat with someone else and pray with someone about it. Okay, but there were two other things for healing, which if you're suffering with these, I'm going to invite you to stand up, which requires a bit of non-British courage. So I'm going to invite you to do that. Okay. If you're suffering with quite sharp pains in your stomach, you might have them right now, or they come periodically, that's you. Or you suffer with periodically quite sharp pains in your head. It's probably a number of us here to get that. But you're aware of that comes and you'd like us to pray for you for healing. Would you mind just standing up very quickly? Either of those things. Don't be shy. Just stand up. Take it now. The bus is coming past. Don't let it go by. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? You're suffering with those things. Take it now. We're just going to pray for you. That's all we're going to do. Pray for a little bit. So you suffer with stomach pains. You get a sort of pain in there. I saw pains in your head, quite sharp pains in your head. Great. Well, we're going to pray for you, friends. And the other people that aren't standing up, because I know you're here. This always happens. I had it last Sunday night. I shared one of these. That nobody stood up at all, so I looked like an idiot. And then they crept up to me afterwards and said, oh, I think it might be me. They explained it. Yes, it's you. We prayed. And I said, are you feeling better? Yes. Oh, great. Very good. Right. Praise the Lord. Lord, we pray right now and we speak your healing over this friend here and anyone else who hasn't stood up. And we speak healing over them now in the name of Jesus. And we command that pain to go. And whatever causes it, be gone in Jesus' name. Whatever's underlying it, be gone. We want the pain to go, but whatever causes it, we speak that healing out now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And if you are here today and you would like to, us to be included in a prayer for healing for something else that I haven't mentioned, stand up now. Just say, yes, please, Lord, we'll take it. If you're new to church and this is a bit weird, don't worry, I'm not going to make you dance around or tell us your life history. Literally, we're going to stand up and we're just going to, together, it's not just me, we're going to pray a prayer for you. We're going to speak healing over you. That's how Jesus does it. So if there's something else you've got, I don't know, I was about to start listing diseases there, but I'm not going to bother. There are lots of them. But if you've got something and you'd like us to include you in a prayer for healing, do that. If you're near one of these people and you're okay with that, you'll remember this. Do we just stretch out our hands towards them? It's just that's mostly it's a us saying this isn't just me, it's we together as Christians, we're speaking healing over these folk now. Lord, I thank you that you are the Lord who heals us. It says in the book of Exodus, and by your wounds we are healed, Jesus. And so we speak healing over these friends now in Jesus' name. We command pain to go. We command sickness to go. We command infection to go. We command the things that we can't see but aren't right to be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak to cancer to be gone in Jesus' name. Break the power of these things. And we speak over these things that may be more things of the heart and the head than the body, and we speak healing over those in Jesus' name. We speak over addictions and we break their power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord, that you heal us. Amen. What I'd like to invite you to do is, when we've finished in a moment, is that if we've prayed for you, is if you can, put it to the test. Give it a wiggle if it used to hurt, see if it still hurts anymore. If it doesn't, say thank you, Lord. If it's still hurting, go and chat to someone else. Say, could you pray for me again? Because the bloke from Simon Sister was rubbish, but if you could pray, that'd be really good, and do that. And if there's something that's a bit more personal, you'd like a bit more prayer, there's folk here in this church who will gladly pray with you about those things. Amen? God bless you.